escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, wow. Nice. Well, shout out to everyone who went there. I live in Oakland, and you don't need to go anywhere to find fireworks in Oakland. I just went up on the roof of my building, and, oh, they are popping off all over the place. It was almost like the neighborhoods were, like, trying to compete with each other, like, which sector of the neighborhood could have better fireworks, because...
Well, I thought this was a gunshot violence sort of analogy, but go ahead.
Oh, no.
I did too.
This was actual fireworks. No, it was not like that at all. Because all the fireworks were coming from the same spot, so it was just, like... I'm watching them just go so late into the night. Well, first off, if you're shooting off fireworks and the sun's still out, what are you doing? Like, that's just a waste of a firework. You can't even see it. Like, you're just wanting stuff to explode at that point. But, yeah, once the sun went down from, like, 8:30 to, I mean, I think there was, like, at, like, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and it was, you know, pop, 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 pop. Like, just like that, basically. They went pretty late in the night last night, and my thought was just, like, how do you just not run out? Like, how many of these fireworks do you have where you're constantly launching them off for 4 hours straight with very little break? Very different fireworks, too. Like, big-time business fireworks making all sorts of colors and noises for 4 hours straight. I don't know how you're able to afford all those. Like, that's a lot of fireworks.
I'm sort of conflicted with fireworks and 4th of July. I've always enjoyed it, but now that I get older, like, I don't want to take that away from the younger people. Fireworks are always sort of a big deal, but I'm a dog person. I think you got a dog, like, that is the worst day of the year for dogs. Like, they just have no idea what to do, and they're miserable, and they just shake, you know, uncontrollably for hours. I remember when I was a child, our dog ran away. It's just like, I think about that more than anything else on 4th of July, which just tells you where I'm at these days.
No, I'm right there with you. You know, our dog was, you know, parked in the closet hiding all night long. It's just one of those, like, you know, you try to keep them as comfortable as possible and hope that they can ride through it, or, you know, give a little something to help them sleep a little bit better to get through the night. But yeah, that was, it's not a fun night for dogs, and it was not a fun night for the Giants either. And This was a very interesting week for the Giants, Dan, as they are in the midst of a just brutal offensive slide right now over the last few weeks. And in the midst of all this, these struggles, there's been a lot of fan frustration with the coaching staff, a lot of fan frustration with Bob Melvin. There's been a lot of calls for coaches to be, you know, removed or replaced. And Buster Posey gave a vote of confidence to the coaching staff via Susan Slusser in the San Francisco Chronicle earlier this week. And my first thought was, is that the dreaded vote of confidence that you'll see other teams give to a coach who's about to get fired? And it was not, because the next day it was announced that the Giants were picking up the option for Bob Melvin's contract next year, which you know, gives Bob a level of security to know that he could very well be back next year. And Buster Posey spoke to the media afterwards. We only have the quotes. We don't have the sound. But he said, and this is pulled from the Twitter handle, the Twitter feed of one Shayna Rubin. Sometimes when you're going through a rough patch, this is what Buster had to say, there is a tendency to want to point the finger at the coaches. And if anybody deserves any blame from the top, it should be on me. It shouldn't be on our manager or coaching staff. I'm the one who sets the roster. So I felt like, with all those things considered, this was a good time for me to show my belief in Bob and his coaching staff. So a lot to take away from there. What do you think about Buster showing Bob Melvin that confidence? Do you share that confidence? And then there's the third layer of, what do we feel about Buster Posey saying the blame should be on him? So a lot we could take here, Dan. I want to hear from callers too. 888-957-9570 is the number. YouTube chat, I want to hear from you guys as well. Shout out to you guys who are watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. So let's just dive right into it. Do we agree with the timing? Do we agree with the reasoning to pick up Bob Melvin's option?
I don't agree with it, but I can respect it. And I think what Buster Posey is telling everybody is that I'm not going to overreact. Like, this is not the time to be firing anybody, that this is an opportunity for me to sort of squash things and give him a vote of confidence. And again, this is coming from somebody who has been there before. Like, all of us, we're on the outside looking in. As much as we think we know about baseball, none of us have stepped between the lines and know what it's like in terms of the climate in that clubhouse. And that's where things always begin and end with me when you're assessing a coach in the NFL, a manager in Major League Baseball. And I think I mentioned this to you before. It's not so much of his coaching decisions. And I talked about, like, I think that the mistakes that you're seeing in the base running, to me, ultimately falls squarely on the shoulders of Bob Melvin. But that aside, whether a team has a good manager or not, it's usually whether the players want to play for that guy, whether they respect him, whether he still has the locker room, and whether there's the minute that cancer creeps in or guys begin to chirp and there's divisiveness, it's time to go, especially if your team is losing. And by all accounts, Chapman says, hey, listen, one of the reasons I resigned because I want to play for Bob Melvin. Logan Webb is the same way. He's like, listen, man, I want this guy as my manager. So, again, I have no idea the relationship between Bob Melvin and the players, but that's really where this all begins and ends when you're assessing whether or not he's a good manager going forward.
Yeah, and I do believe he has the respect of his players. I believe he has the support of his players, and at minimum, he does have the two most important guys in that clubhouse in his corner, in Matt Chapman and in Logan Webb. And so, yeah, I get, and I think, and we had Dave Fleming on earlier this week. He kind of talked about this as well. It's, you know, the coaches, they could hear the noise. They know it's happening. You know, they try to put the blinders on, but they hear the noise and the frustration that's going on, and the players know what's going on. And I think, you know, you don't want this situation where doubt is starting to creep in to the clubhouse based on what is being said outside. No, I'm not saying that's what was happening, but a great way to prevent that from happening is to double down and just let everyone know, hey, no one's going anywhere. Like, we're committing to this group right here. And I think there is something to be said about the way Buster Posey is choosing right now to let everybody know, hey, we're sticking with you guys. And it did lead to a couple wins this week over the Diamondbacks. And it seems like every time Buster has spoken, it's the team has kind of woken up a little bit. You go back to, again, the it's time to go statement. And that led to a 7-game winning streak. And then right after that, he brings in Rafael Devers. So he used his words to pick the team up, and then he used his actions to pick the team up. And that's what he did again this week. And I do respect Buster for doing that. But as far as, yeah, what does this mean for Bob Melvin? What does this mean for your expectations of Bob Melvin? I mean, a couple weeks ago, we were having a conversation of how much do you blame the coaches for the struggles versus the players. And it's going to sound, you know, like maybe we're doing two sides of the same coin here, but I have a harder time, like the hitting struggles of this team, I have a harder time putting those on Pat Burrell than I do the hitters. Like, I feel like that's more on the hitters. But when I see a lineup being trotted out there that's basically just you're trying to chase the hot guy and see what can happen, and that's why Mike Yastrzemski was in the cleanup spot, when we're just jamming Christian Kost into the leadoff spot because let's see what happens, when I see the lack of lineup consistency that we've had from Bob Melvin with Matt Chapman out, yeah, there's some frustrations there because it's just like I feel like it shouldn't be this complicated to get a lineup out there even with just one guy missing. That's a Bob Melvin thing. When it's the same kind of miscues on the bases, it's just like you need to be setting the tone of those things being taken care of. That's a Bob Melvin thing. So it's those are kind of the things I look at in terms of just like if you're going to be frustrated with Bob Melvin, it's in those areas right there because those are areas where I feel like it is incumbent on him to set a tone that pushes the team away from those mistakes into playing better baseball.
I have an issue with the lineup. And when guys show up to the park and they have no idea where they're going to be hitting that day, I like structure. I'll give you Jung Hoo Lee as a perfect example. That's a leadoff hitter. He's a leadoff hitter.
A three-hitter at the lowest, but yeah, a leadoff
hitter.
But
if you put him in a situation, I've seen him come to the plate where the third baseman is playing back, and part of that is because he can't go the other way, but that's a bunt. That's a base hit that they're going to give you. And as a leadoff hitter, you should take that to set the table. But more often than not, he's coming up in situations where he's got to drive in runners. Like, he's coming in like a guy who's hitting in the four hole. And that's not Jung Hoo Lee. Jung Hoo Lee should not be your home run RBI guy. But because of the juggling of this starting lineup and where you're hitting from day to day, he finds himself, and I just use him as an example because, and I know, you know, Kyle Schwarber's a leadoff hitter these days, just to give you an example that the sort of prototypical, you know, leadoff hitter has gone by the wayside. The Vince Colemans of the world and the Ichiros no longer live here anymore. But I do believe that there are table setters like that of a Jung Hoo Lee who can start a rally by getting on base and by putting pressure immediately on the defense with your speed and go from first to third or potentially go from first to home. And that's where he's best utilized. But if you're moving him around and he's coming up and now he feels as though I've got to drive in runs as opposed to just getting on base, that's a completely different mindset.
No, I agree. I agree with that because I do believe you have a point there. I think putting him lower in the lineup has changed his swing a little bit. This is a guy who should not be trying to get under the ball, Jung Hoo Lee. And why that we continually see him try to do that is beyond me. He had in the game on Thursday night, Dan, or sorry, on Wednesday night, he had a triple in the first inning that he kind of got under a little bit. But he had a double in the third inning that I thought perfectly encapsulated just kind of what you want to see from Jung Hoo Lee at the plate. And that is a guy who's going to have a level swing, who's not going to lean over and try and, you know, lunge at these pitches and just drive the ball. That's what he was doing at the beginning of the year, and he was hitting all sides of the field on it. But then for whatever reason, it's probably coincides with him getting dropped in the lineup. You saw the launch angle go up, and you saw the production go down. Jung Hoo Lee is not a guy who should be trying to drive the ball like that. Like, Dan, I think it's no coincidence, and I brought this up the other day. You know, the Giants started 19-10 this season, and Jung Hoo Lee, when he was driving the ball, was hitting .324 during that time. And I'm not saying that Jung Hoo Lee was absolutely responsible for the Giants' hot start, but I'm saying that the Giants were a better team when Jung Hoo Lee was hitting like a guy who drives the ball, not a guy who tries to power the ball. Over the last couple months, he's tried to be the power guy. He's hitting .195 in that time, and the Giants are 27-32 over that stretch, which is, 28-32, which, you know, obviously not very good. Now, again, I'm not saying that Jung Hoo Lee is the difference between a good Giants team and a bad Giants team, but when Jung Hoo Lee is hitting like he's expected to, it makes the rest of the lineup go, and you see the effects from there. That's why this team was so great at the start of the year, where you had, you know, Ramos locked in at the one, Adames at the two, even Jung Hoo Lee in the three spot, it worked. Chapman at the four, Flores five, so on throughout the rest of the lineup. You had a set, consistent lineup that was producing. And right around, you know, May is when we started moving guys around. We dropped Adames in the lineup. We dropped Lee in the lineup. All of a sudden, guys start not hitting as well. Now, Is it as simple to say that Bob Melvin moving guys down the lineup ruin their swings and ruin them at the plate? I think that's a little too simplistic. I think it's, you know, there's a level of ebbs and flows in this game too that play a part as well in those situations. But when it all happens kind of at once, it's easy to look at the lineup movement and say, well, that's the reason right there. It's not just that, but I do think it is a main part of the offensive struggles that we've been seeing. And again, this all comes back to who's right in the lineup. We know it's Bob Melvin because the Giants made it abundantly clear this offseason the lineup is Bob's. At the end of the day, the lineup is trotted out there. He has the final say in it. So, yeah, this puts all of the responsibility, I think, or not all of it, but a big chunk of the responsibility onto Bob Melvin.
And Jung Hoo Lee, I say this every week, has just become a dead pull hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
And he was at that at the beginning of the year.
No, and you like to see him get back to that. The one thing that scares me about Jung Hoo Lee, if this continues, and it's still very early, but a lot of the players that the Giants have locked up to long-term deals, because these guys aren't going anywhere, are not playing well. And so it's not as though you can get out from underneath these things if they continue to go poorly, but you're looking at, you know, Devers is going to be around for a long time, and he's owed $250 million. Same thing with Adames for the next 7 years, and the same thing when you're talking about Jung Hoo Lee. So there's some longevity there for some players who are struggling with the San Francisco Giants. And right now it's not a matter of concern, but if we continue to trend in this direction, you know, you got a ball and chain that are sort of tied to you for a while.
Yeah, I mean, there's already a lot of people who are having concerns about the Jung Hoo Lee contract and how much of an albatross that could be. I mean, we were talking last week, if he didn't have that contract, he'd probably be heading to Sacramento to work on his swing. We did have Dave Fleming on the morning roast on Thursday, and I asked him, you know, what the difference between what he's seeing from Jung Hoo Lee now versus April is, and here's what Dave Fleming had to say about Jung Hoo Lee.
He is getting pitched differently. I do think it's been pretty obvious that the last month he is seeing just a relentless array of pitches away. Teams are just staying away. And he hasn't made that adjustment yet where he's beating them to left field or center field. And we saw a little bit of that in April, but I do think he's going to have to work on that, whether he gets a little closer to the plate or a little less wide open with his stance, changes his bat path just slightly because, you know, we've seen a lot of pop-ups. And
escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Oh my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam!
Ohtani, inevitable!
Walk off, baby! This is the best!
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fly balls to left field, and that's not his game.
Exactly, and I think that's it's incumbent on the coach. But this is where the battle between coach versus player, I think, starts to take over. The hitting coaches can tell Jung-Hoo Lee that you need to change where you are on the plate. You need to not swing at these certain pitches. You need to make this adjustment. You need to do that adjustment. But then it becomes on Jung-Hoo Lee to actually go through with making that adjustment. And what you're seeing this year is a Giants lineup that just seems so dead set in their ways that I think it's impeding their ability to make these adjustments. And there I have a hard time really kind of putting it on the coaching staff. Now, I'm kind of curious, like, what Giants fans want to be seeing from Bob Melvin that's different right now. Because I know the other night, the Christian Kost not home run that was ruled a double after it was ruled an out after the review upheld it and said no, it was a double because the Arizona Diamondbacks fan, for the fifth time in 4 years, reached over the wall and interfered with the ball play. Yeah, for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I know a lot of Giants fans want to see Bob Melvin come out and get thrown out there, especially if, you know, Kost was ruled out. And Bob, you know, he was mild-mannered about it. He got ejected right before the ninth inning instead, and not a super exciting ejection. But sometimes an ejection, you know, it can fire a team up. It can just let fans know that there's a fire in that dugout, that they're trying to get things going. And that's not really what the kind of guy Bob Melvin is. He's not a openly demonstrative person. There's kind of a quiet intimidation about him that doesn't really translate on camera if you're a person who likes to see a, you know, very animated manager. But Dave Fleming had something to say the other day that I thought was very interesting. Take a listen to this about how Bob Melvin will challenge and call out his players.
Yeah, I think he's been pretty feisty, and I think he might see a little more of that here going forward, of him challenging some players. You know, that's almost never going to be public because that's just not the way that he does it. But in the last couple of days, there have been a couple of guys that he has privately challenged. And I think, you know, maybe we're starting to see some of the response of that in some individual performances. You can't do that too much. You know, you got to save those moments. But I think that he's definitely willing to do that kind of stuff.
So I think there's probably a level of fans want to see this stuff done publicly, but that's just not how things are done. But it is being done just behind the scenes, which if you don't see it, I can understand as a fan why that would make you frustrated, though.
Well, it's hard to get publicly run from a baseball game as a manager these days because of the reviews, right? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
If I'm an umpire, I would just say, well, dude, take it up with New York. What are you
yelling? Now what happens if you get a review that you don't like, as soon as you come out to argue, you get tossed because it's just like you can't argue with the review afterwards. So, yeah, ejections, a part of replay is, yeah, you see less ejections. But as Aaron Boone will show us, that shouldn't really stop you.
He's on thin ice. Yankees and Mets, what the hell happened to them? But just get back to hitting coaches. Listen, today's hitting coach will give you advice. But today's players, it's not as though I'm going to alter my swing and change dramatically what it is that has brought me to this level where I'm a Major League Baseball player. And the reason why is because there's too much money involved. As a guy who has a personal contract, if I'm Jung-Hoo Lee and I'm making this much money, I know what it is that I do. And I've been in slumps before, whether it be in Korea or here. And so I think that people have to understand the relationship between the two. Oh, it must be Pat Burrell's fault because this guy can't hit. There's not a player alive with the money that's being exchanged right now, especially from your best hitters in the lineup, that is going to say, oh, I'm just going to follow you to the promised land. What you say is gospel. And then suddenly go into a slump, find yourself out of baseball going, doggone it, I should have never listened to Pat Burrell. It's not the way it works. This is very personal with these guys. I mentioned this before. They have video. They have hitting gurus. They know exactly
what they have their own swing coaches
that they need to do. I'm just going to throw this out there just to see if I can definitely poke in the bear here. But if Jung-Hoo Lee continues to go down this path and he's struggling, I have a friend who's from Pittsburgh. Doesn't live there
Pennsylvania
anymore.
Pennsylvania or California?
No, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
He's very, very Pittsburgh. He doesn't live there. He always claims Mark Cuban's from Pittsburgh. Anyways, but he stays on top of Pirate baseball. And so I love to, like, you know, bend his ear from time to time. And Nobody in Pittsburgh right now, well, not nobody, but there is this groundswell of O'Neal Cruz hate. Getting to your point about Elliot Ramos, I don't know if you saw that play. It might have been last week where O'Neal Cruz
a couple, yeah, got by. I mean, he didn't really go after
there's
it.
There's a lot of that, and it's beginning to build. And so the Pirates have quietly said, listen, don't even ask us about Skeens. He's not going anywhere, as well as McCutcheon. They went out of their way to say McCutcheon and Skeens, but nobody's talking about O'Neal Cruz, that young center fielder, that there is some subtle talk that potentially he could be a guy because of the sort of lackadaisical play that is, it's getting to the point where the fan base as well as management is sort of like the Rafi Devers, right? Like all this stuff behind the scenes that when a guy like Devers is traded, everybody's like, what the hell? I didn't see that coming. That they're potentially, and again, I'm starting something that probably isn't there, but O'Neal Cruz might be a guy that could get moved at the trade deadline.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, he does have, again, he's 2 years in. He's got three arbitration years to come before he hits restricted free agency. Now, would the Giants be in on an O'Neal Cruz? I think they have bigger issues they need to deal with. I think you need to fix the pitching first before you take care of the hitting. Ironically enough, again, with Matt Chapman coming back, I think you have things pretty set in your lineup right now. We'll see what the lineup looks like tonight, and we can get into that more on the other side in terms of just now that the lineup is whole, what do we want to see from Bob Melvin, or what are the expectations for Bob Melvin? Because I've said I think it's playoffs or bust for Bob Melvin, and I think that still remains true. So we can get into that on the other side. Just a minute, reminder, tonight at 5 o'clock, Valkyries are taking on the Minnesota Lynx in Minnesota. Go to Minnesota. You can catch that game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Download the app and search Valkyries for so you can find it. That is Dan Devone. I am Sam Lubman. We got about another hour and a half of Giants talk. We're 30 minutes away from Justice De Los Santos joining the show. So still plenty to go. We'd love to hear from all the Giants fans out there. 888-957-9570 is the number. The expectations on Bob Melvin, they are going up right now despite anything the Giants lineup might or might not be doing. We'll talk about that and more, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Minnesota!
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, the best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here. It's the Wrap. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Dan Lubman, Dan Devone. 888-957-9570 is the number. Yeah, that is a very unsettling yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
It's Jimmy Butler.
Oh, that's Jimmy's yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that at all with this music. Sounds very unsettling. But anyway, yeah, so we're talking about the Bob Melvin option being picked up this week and what it means for the Giants for the rest of the year. But I think there's another layer to it, too, and that is what it means for Buster Posey. Because Buster, again, he put out the vote of confidence for Bob Melvin this week. And he told Susan Susser of the San Francisco Chronicle, this is what he said, I believe it was on Monday, when he said this. He said, I have the utmost confidence in Bob and the coaching staff. There's that vote of confidence that we were talking about. Whether you're a player or coach, sometimes there are going to be things that go your way and things that don't. You make the best decision you can. I know for certain that being around Bob and his staff as much as I have been the last five months, they're very prepared and they're in great positions to make the right decisions. So he said that on Monday to Susan Slusser. And then next day, Bob Melvin got his option picked up. And Buster Posey said this afterwards. Sometimes when you're going through a rough patch, there's a tendency to want to point the finger at the coaches. And if anybody deserves any blame from the top, it should be on me. It shouldn't be on our managers or coaching staff. I'm the one who sets the roster. So I felt like, with all those things considered, this was a good time for me to show my belief in Bob and his coaching staff. So as much heat and pressure as there might be on Bob Melvin and the Giants coaching staff, did Buster Posey bring extra heat and pressure onto him? Because This is a very, very public declaration of confidence Buster Posey made here. And he said that if there is any blame, it should be on him. After all, this is the roster that he built. So with that being said, then how much of this blame do you put on Buster Posey for how this season's gone? And again, as I said earlier in the show, Dan, Buster Posey is a guy who has absolutely backed up his words with actions. Or is there another action that Buster Posey takes here to back up these words? And again, as we are 26 days from the trade deadline, is Buster basically creating another situation where, or is Buster setting himself up to make another move to maybe bolster this roster as a way to help Bob Melvin out here?
I'd be surprised if he didn't. I think that when Buster Posey made the career choice of the decision to be the president of baseball ops for the San Francisco Giants, inherently you live with pressure every day. There are different levels, right? Aside from winning a World Series, every GM deals with pressure. And again, I don't see this necessarily the pressure by marrying himself to Bob Melvin, because it's only an option for a year. It's not a 5 or 7 year deal. And again, if the Giants struggle in the second half of the season, he can get out from underneath that and go find his guy. I would have waited, but I totally respect and understand what it is that he's doing, but give him a vote of confidence at this time of the year. To me, there's no harm in waiting until the end of the season, or at least latter part of the year. But if this is what he decided to do, don't have any issues with it. I think the pressure with Buster Posey is going to be, when you look at this team, we'll talk about Robbie Ray, but we have to keep in mind that Farhan fleeced the Mariners for Robbie Ray.
Well, that's what's kind of the underlying irony of the 2025 Giants, is just how much of this roster was built by Farhan Zaidi, and how Buster is simply utilizing a lot better than Farhan was ever able to. And you know, Dan, I know you mentioned that, you know, it is just an option. It's not that hard to get out from under it. But the reason why I kind of push back at that, and why I think Buster is kind of marrying himself to Bob Melvin, is I think when you, as publicly as Buster did this past week, go out and throw your vote of confidence behind your guy like that, behind Bob Melvin like that, like, people are going to notice that. People are going to notice that, you know, that kind of a declaration, that declaration of confidence that Buster Posey made for Bob Melvin. That is noticeable. It's not nothing, especially being done in the kind of malaise that the Giants were in right now. And there's a part of me that thinks that, yeah, the Giants could easily just, you know, if things go south this year, they could punt on Bob Melvin after this year, eat the option year, and find someone else. Buster brings in his own guy. But when you put your confidence behind someone so publicly, I don't know if you really then have the option then just pivot off of him after the end of the year, because he's got to think about his own credibility in this sense too. Now, Buster Posey says, I believe in Bob Melvin, here's that option, and then at the end of the year, you pull the rug out from under him and start looking for a new coach and a new manager and coaching staff. Well, now your votes of confidence have a lot less significance and a lot less weight going forward, because, well, you just say, well, the last time you gave a vote of confidence, you ended up firing the guy. And I don't know if that's a situation that Buster wants to put himself in, to where he's saying one thing and giving off one vibe, but then pivots in the exact opposite direction later on.
I hear you, but I guess, again, the fact that it's only for a year is a vote of confidence, certainly, but there's not a lot of security there. It's 1 year. So let's say that the Giants take the pipe in the second half of the season and they finish well back of the last wild card spot and don't go to the playoffs. It's a major disappointment. The feeling is pretty bad around the team. We're taking calls about Bob Melvin's got to go. Maybe he stays with Melvin going into 26, but that's a short leash. And I don't think that if they get off to a slow start next year, then he has every right, to me, to get rid of Bob Melvin and still be a guy of his word.
Do you really think Buster would? So in that situation, I mean, Buster's basically, if the Giants don't make the playoffs this year, let's say they finish below 500 this year, and then you're still bringing back Bob Melvin next year, you're basically in the same situation where at the start of this season, where you got a manager with a lame duck contract, so to speak, except this time there is going to be no option to bail him out with. And what you're then looking at is, if things go south, do you eat it for the whole year and go look for a new manager at the end of the 2026 season? Or do you try and do something that has so rarely been done in Giants history and make an in-season managerial change? Like, when Gabe Kapler was fired with three games left, I mean, that wasn't really an in-season. That was basically like, you know, Farhan let the cat out of the bag a couple days too early, and rather than let Gabe face questions for 3 days, let's just cut the cord now and move on with our lives and have Kai Correa finish the season out. The Giants don't normally do in-season firings. That's not something the teams really want to do, and I don't know if Buster Posey wants to put himself in a situation where, you know, this time next year, we're talking about how Buster Posey had to go back on his confidence and fire Bob Melvin in the middle of June or something like that and install an interim manager. And what you're potentially looking at then is two lost years from Buster Posey with a roster that, you know, out of nowhere is actually very win now. You got Adames for 6 years, Chapman for 4 years, Jung-Hoo Lee for four more years, Devers for eight more, Webb for three more, Ray will be back next year. You got guys like Elliot Ramos, Landon Roop, Hayden Birdsong, who are looking like they're going to be around for a long time. Like, this has low-key become a roster that is ready to win right now. And I think it's a risky move for Buster to put this level of confidence on Bob Melvin if next year we risk being in the same situation making a managerial change.
Which is why I think that I wouldn't be surprised if this team struggles in the latter part of this season, that he would make a change over the offseason. Because I don't think you're going to let, and granted, you want to be a man of your word as a GM, a new GM, but you can't let these windows that rarely present themselves when they're open to potentially get back to a World Series close because you want to keep your word. And that's just sort of the new world that he's entered into. All right, this is the life of a GM. And it's all, unfortunately, it's very linear. He's now just judged on wins and losses and playoff appearances. This is the pressure I was talking about when Buster Posey wanted to step into an executive role. You are judged by, look at Michael Jordan, goes from the greatest player of all time to an owner of the Charlotte Hornets, and suddenly, like, you suck. He was impervious to that sort of criticism.
We can go keep it local here. Chris Mullin was an absolute legend. And then, you know, growing up for me, he was the embattled GM. Now, you know, years have passed and Mully has his rightful place in Warriors history now. But that's kind of where I'm kind of getting at here, Dan, is, you know, Buster, he's wanting to take on this blame here because I think we all agree, like, Buster's approval rating. You know, if we were to take a Gallup.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Approval poll of Buster Posey. My guess is he'd be polling very high, probably in the 80s or 90s, whereas Bob Melvin probably polling a little bit lower right now. Buster has that equity and wherewithal to take the blame and hit right now, but that's not going to last forever. And I'm just kind of curious, so when Buster throws out this public declaration of confidence, what's he going to do maybe now to back it up? And that's where I start looking at the trade deadline and think, well, are we starting to see a situation where, with the pitching being what it is Buster Posey going to set the Giants up to where they can add, again, it doesn't have to be a top-of-the-line starter, but a 3-4 starter at minimum is absolutely needed because, right, what we saw last night is basically just proof that, or further proof, or further confirmation, further whatever you want to call it, the Giants cannot count on Justin Verlander every 5 days to take them out and give this team a chance to win.
Yeah, I think they're going to be active in trying to get a pitcher. I think they almost have to. I think just getting back to the pressure of Buster Posey, when you think about the moves that he's made, and I'm online with all of them. Is there anybody that disagrees getting Devers at the time? We were all rejoicing.
Oh, everyone's going nuts about it.
You had to do it.
Just because it hasn't. And again, we got 8 years to make this deal work.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if it doesn't work in the first 3-4 weeks.
Exactly. But there is, you have to entertain, because this has happened before when it comes to see Chris Bryant. There are players out there that never materialize. And Willie Adames hasn't played well, and certainly up to his standard to this point. And so to your point, when you look at the San Francisco Giants, the best players are all Farhan products, from Elliot Ramos to Matt Chapman to Logan Webb and to Robbie Ray, and the bullpen as well. Now, that's not an indictment that Buster Posey doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. You can make the argument that also Matt Chapman is still here because of Buster Posey.
True,
you could split the blame. You could split the credit on Chapman, but the rest of the roster, though, is very much Farhan's creation.
Yeah, and so going forward, as he makes this team under his vision, there's a lot of the pressure is going to mount for guys like that of Devers to hit the ball and be Rafi Devers. Willie Adames has got to play much better. But this is, when you sign up to be the president of baseball ops, this is the risk you inherit, right? Like you inherit, because it's not like when you're a player, you can control your own destiny. If I'm 0-4, that's on me. Or if I, if I go 3-4 and hit two bombs, that's on me. But he can't hit for Devers. He can't do anything about that. And so it's sort of the new role for Buster Posey is in a lot of ways beyond his control. And while all of us agree with the moves, there is precedence where Devers could be a bust. Adames could be a bust. And this could go really bad for Buster Posey. And it's you can blame it on him because it just comes with the territory. But
the buck has to stop somewhere, yeah.
All moves that I think we were all on board with at the time.
Yeah, again, there's a lot of people who love the Barry Zito move when it happened. And there's a lot of people who didn't love it. That's usually how these things go. And that's the unfair rap, I guess you could say, that guys in these positions have to deal with for Buster. So it's Buster. He's putting it out there. He's putting himself out there. He's going out on a limb for these guys. And I respect the move. It's a vote of confidence that I don't think the prior regime would have ever given, at least not as full-throatedly as Buster Posey did. But the downside is that I do believe it brings more of a magnifying glass now on what Buster does and what Buster does not do and what the results of Buster's moves are. Now, again, I bring up Verlander because that was one of Buster's early moves that he brought in to provide innings for this pitching rotation. And it's, you know, every year for the last few years, the Giants, they've come in thinking they got enough pitching, and then inevitably in the summer, you're always scrambling. Now, again, the Giants have a little bit more pitching depth this year than they have in the past. They're not going to have to resort to, you know, going to openers to 2 to 3 times a week. But what we saw from Justin Verlander last night, and I had a chance to ask him, you know, his introductory presser, what his goals are for this year. And here's what Verlander said. This is back in January about what he kind of hopes to accomplish this year.
I wouldn't be coming back and playing if I've accomplished enough in my career. I wouldn't be back if I didn't think I could be great. I really truly believe that the experiences I had last year and leading into this year, I can be back to the pitcher I was not all that long ago when I won a Cy Young. So, you know, I put in the work. I put in the work for the last, since I was 5 years old, I've been playing baseball, you know? So all that work, my whole life, I still feel like I have something to give. And if I still feel like that, then I want to play.
So again, he's trying to prove that he still has it. And it's just what we've been seeing, especially we've seen glimpses of it, but the last few starts, Dan, it's just not there for Justin Verlander. And now it's at a point to where it's like, again, the weather's going to get warmer. Pitchers tend to wear down in July and August and into September. He's 43 years old, not getting any younger. He's been, yesterday was 20 years since his debut.
Yeah.
Like at what point do you just make the call? Do you just call it on Verlander and say, like, it's just not happening this year?
I think you got to be a little bit more patient, as ridiculous as that might sound. He has, and maybe you can talk to this because I have never seen him in the locker room, but almost to a man, people talk about his presence. Like, he has a big personality.
I'll agree with that. It's there.
In that locker room. And there are a lot of people that respond to him. He's doing everything except win games or win one game. Sort of like Willy Adames, who has a huge presence and has become sort of the Derek Jeter of this team, but hasn't really played well up until, well, he's shown signs of late, which is a good thing. Here's why it's really amplified now more than ever when you talk about Birdsong and especially Verlander, is because it was a concern early on in the season, but you had Kyle Harrison. And so while it was a concern, there was a safety net.
You had a guy you could turn to who, and again, we could say what you will about Kyle Harrison, whether or not you believe that he was a good pitcher or not. He was good enough that he could take the mound and get you some quality innings. And you don't have that anymore. Now, we did see a guy last night, Mason Black, made his season debut with the Giants. And, you know, we're talking about how, you know, the ridiculousness of playing in Sutter Health Park. Mason Black made his, you know, not his major league debut, but his 2025 debut with the Giants in the very ballpark that he was already pitching in as a member of the Sacramento RiverCats. So welcome to the big, Mason Black. Welcome to the bigs, Mason Black. But again, it wasn't his first game, so I'm not going to get too angry about it. But Black, I thought, pitched well enough. And he dealt with that, you know, umpiring delay before the sixth inning, unfortunately. But he pitched well enough last night where it's like, you know what? I'd be willing to see a little bit more Mason Black. Now, if he, you know, comes in, you know, on Sunday, I don't think he'll pitch tonight. But if he comes in like Sunday or Monday and gets lit up, then, yeah, that might change the conversation a little bit. But the Giants do have options in the minor leagues that they can try and go to. I did like what we saw from Mason Black. I'd be curious to see what Carson Wisenhunt, though he's got like a 4.50 ERA in AAA right now, so not sure how close he is to arriving, but I would like to see what some of these younger options look like before the Giants go venturing out into the trade market again, because Mason Black is a guy who I wanted the Giants to use Mason Black in a trade package, you know, 2 years ago when the Giants did absolutely nothing at the trade deadline. He could be a guy at this trade deadline, Dan, who could very much be a guy who can help bring back a back end of the rotation piece for the Giants, because you're not going to have to break the bank for a starting pitcher at the deadline. I don't think the Giants need to do that. Go get a guy like Steven Rizzotto brought up, Zach Eflin, before the game. Charlie Morton is another guy, even at 41 years old, that's a guy who I can count on. Heck, the guy who is starting tonight for the A's, Luis Severino, would be a perfect option for the Giants based off the money he's making, the years he has left, and the disdain he has for pitching at Sutter Health Park. So there are options there. for the Giants to kind of correct his pitching. It's just a matter of how aggressive Buster will be and addressing those pitching needs. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're getting up against it soon, but before we do, got to go to one of our favorites out in Mountain View. Jan in Mountain View. Oh, how you doing, Jan? Yeah. You are on the wrap.
Good morning, you two. I just want to point out, and I don't know why, but I remember in the past when we had Flannery, was that the guy at the third base
yep.
or whatever? But
yep.
When there were runners in scoring position, he would, you know, give a signal like a bunt or something. Well, Bailey is up there, and he's got a poor batting average. Why advance the runner? You know, I'm screaming, you know. I'm like, gee whiz, put down a bunt. You've done it before. Same thing with what's that guy they put back on second base that has the speed, you know?
Tyler
for
Fitzgerald?
For heaven's sake, you know, stop striking out, you know, advance the runner, you know, gee whiz, you know, you see that you're not, you know, helping out, you know, hitting the long ball or whatever, you know, advance the runner. Let's try to get some runs for this pitcher. You know, you're just wasting it back.
Very well said, Jan. That's the entire 3-hour show summed up into a 2-minute call from Jan in Mountain View right there. Yeah, the situational hitting, taking those moments. Here's the thing to Jan's point, and what frustrates me is the Giants have been doing a lot of this throughout the season. There have been a lot of times where Bob Melvin's been using the first and second, no outs, let's drop a bunt to move guys up just to kind of get some runs across, but then they go away from it at the weirdest times. It's like, it just, when they do things that work and then stop doing those things and then they struggle, it's like, Bob, what are you doing, man?
Well, that's another one of the criticisms. I'm not piling on Bob Melvin because I've never really been a big fan of his, but he doesn't have a real identity as a coach. Usually a team, love or hate, again, getting back to Gabe Kapler, Kapler at least went out his way, right? He was a guy that was heavy on the metrics and algorithms, and I said...
You knew what he was bringing
exactly.
to the table.
And I don't know what Bob Melvin, in terms of a sort of manager, is as far as style is concerned. By the way, great to hear someone bring back the gee whiz. That's a lesson to you young fellas, Pasta. Not everything has to be a profanity, okay? You can go gee golly, gee whiz from time to time.
Oh, it's like great googly moogly.
Hey, really quick. Just
heck yes.
Before we get to the break, I just wanted to talk about the young pitchers. I'm not a fan of bringing up the Mason Blacks. I don't want to see the Wizen Hunts. Not this time of the year, because as we're seeing with the Hayden Birdsong, there's something to veteran pitchers, especially if you're trying to get into the postseason. You don't want to see guys that are learning on the job or when they hit the wall trying to self-correct like that of Birdsong, which is almost inevitable, which is why I'm with you. I would move some of those young arms because right now it's about getting to the playoffs this year, and we'll worry mm-hmm. about tomorrow when it presents itself. Go get a veteran arm instead of a young pitcher coming up right now, where more often than not, the moment is too big for them.
Exactly. Again, as we said, you know, this is a roster that is ready to win now. You know, I think it was instant on the YouTube chat. So, you know, this team never went through a proper rebuild. No, they didn't. But here they are on the other side with a team that, on paper, by all accounts, is ready to win right now. And so you have assets to move to make that happen. I don't know how married to your farm system you have to be right now in terms of using it to funnel talent to your big league team. Use it to bring in talent to supplement your big league team here at the deadline. So maybe Justus De Los Santos has some ideas as to who the Giants could be targeting at the deadline. One of the hardest working guys on the Giants beat, covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group. We'll chat with him on the other side on the River Islands guest line. All that brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.